You are listening to the Icehouse Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Icehouse Podcast. I am Briar, and today we're having a great conversation with one of the Icehouse team, Trent Slater. He is the Innovations Manager at the Icehouse, and we're going to get to know him a little bit more and also do a bit of a deep dive into the topic of digital transformation, which is something he has a lot of experience and insight into. So looking forward to that. Thanks heaps, Trent, for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Briar.
No worries. You've been here for what, nearly 4 years or 4 years?
Yep, actually 4 years now, yeah.
Wow, yeah, 4 years. And so it's about time we got to know you more. But no, those listening or tuning in watching, I'm sure Trent is somewhat of a familiar face, having spoken on things like digital transformation and that in the past, but thought it was a cool opportunity to get to know you a bit more and your career experience, and then diving again into that topic because it's such an important one for our SME owners. But we're going to start with this question. Who is Trent and what are you passionate about?
Yes, who am I? Obviously, we evolve as time goes on. Yep. I'm a new dad, so that's at the forefront of who I am at the moment and probably will be for the next few years, especially with the toddler. Yeah, I think as well as I've sort of had different experiences work-wise, I've learned a lot about myself, and with a company like the Icehouse, I've really found some affinity there with their purpose. Yeah. I find that solving problems for people is something I enjoy getting up every day for. So, when it comes to the Icehouse, that's, its whole purpose. So, in helping people succeed. So, throwing those challenges around and just helping other people succeed has become, one of the more important things to me on an everyday basis. Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a cool answer. What about like just personal hobbies? Do you have any passions in that space?
Yeah, I have lots of personal hobbies. As I said before, the little bubba has curtailed some of my personal time. So I don't get a lot of time to do that. Apart from business studies, I also did music studies. So I'm quite into music, music production. I've learned how to write, record and everything. I've got a home studio. You probably see some guitars in the background and yep. Keyboards and stuff dotted around this room. So yeah, music's been a massive part of my life for a long time. And I still to this day play, record, not as much as I used to, it's always going to be a part of my life.
Yeah, that's very, very cool and just helps us shape who Trent is. I want to dive that little bit deeper into your career journey. So where did you start and, briefly, what does that journey look like to where you are now in the role of Innovations Manager at the Icehouse?
Yeah, so a lot of people, similar to my journey, you sort of start off and you're not quite sure exactly where you want to go. Some people are lucky, they know exactly what they want to do and specialize in certain fields. I have a very curious mind, so I enjoy, a variety of things. I'm, pretty eclectic when it comes to especially, learning. And so I started with a BCom. It was pretty broad, quite a few different papers, started to hone in on what I was good at as well as what, what interests me. So I did a lot of entrepreneurial papers, naturally lent itself to exploring new ideas and seeing them come into fruition. So international business, I'm quite proficient in data and mathematics. So naturally statistics and things were some things that I sort of excelled at and utilized quite a bit. But I started in advertising. And I think a lot of people start in advertising. It's a really great combination. As you said before, I'm a musician, so I do have a little bit of creative streak in me. I've done design work as well. So advertising was something that I started in. Ended up working for Harvey Norman down at their head office. Would do campaigns with them, national campaigns. And I also worked on the side for Radio New Zealand as well. So, and that was more of a passion project. So working with a team that actually recorded bands and then did some marketing for those bands as well. So that was really great. I did a little bit of sales, started to do some sales work. As I said, I just really enjoyed all aspects of business and all aspects of, you know, of that side of learning. So I really want to get like a well-rounded education and experience in that. I've still got aspirations to one day run a company of my own, maybe have a company of my own. So yeah, I really want to get that well-rounded education and experience. So after that, I guess it wasn't new at that time, but digital became, you know, quite apparent that it was going to be a large part of our future. And so I really wanted to get ahead of that in terms of, you know, learning about it, how it was going to be implemented into business, actually what was valuable to know. And I think, you know, we'll probably get into that in this about sort of the magpie situation, something shiny, something new. So, but to actually think through, okay, what can I actually do with this to add value? What can I actually do with this to, you know, create a new product, add something to an existing product or service, or just, you know, find some efficiency in some business. So I started to learn about digital. I worked for a digital company that was part of DesignWorks in Auckland. It was an agency, so worked on quite a few big projects with some really great companies, Heineken, DB, and Fisher & Paykel, Hire, Becker. And they were really great companies to work with. They had some, they were willing to take a chance on emerging technologies. So that was very exciting. You know, you got to work alongside them. They got to trial stuff. I got to see firsthand, you know, what these emerging technologies could do. Back then we were talking about, you know, this is a long time ago, we're talking about machine learning, and that was just becoming something that Google was sort of talking about with a lot of people. So, you know, nowadays it's sort of the catchphrase at the moment with AI, but machine learning was something that, you know, took everyone by surprise a little bit, and the applications started to sort of flow out into the actual practical world. So after that, I did a little bit of brand management, which naturally led into product management. So product and project management. So I've been working around NPD for a while now. I really enjoy it. Coming from a marketing background, and especially marketing research background, and especially in data, that sort of led to me, you know, working in that sort of insights area. So I'd be able to pull out the insights and sort of see how that would be adopted either by, you know, the product team or by, you know, other parts of the organization. So I worked in new product developments and have moved over here to the Ice House now, and started primarily, the first project was to do a HubSpot implementation. So using technology, looking at CRM and implementing that into the business. That was a contract role, and then I guess they liked me enough to ask me to stay, and that sort of naturally led to things I was interested in. Talking with I worked with Andy to begin with, Andy Hamilton, and then worked with Gavin Lennox and Liz Wotherspoon, and just explained and described sort of what I would see as valuable for the company, and they agreed. And hence the role I have at the moment, which is titled Innovation Manager, but it's a mix of product, it's a mix of project management, it's a mix of digital transformational, you know, items in there. So it's really exciting. It's obviously, change management, things like that. So it's interesting every single day.
That's such a great overview of your experience. So thank you for sharing that. Give us insight into, you know, Trent rocks up to the Ice House offices and Parnell there, coffee in hand. What does the day look like for you? Walk us through a day in the life of Trent in your role as innovations manager right now.
Yeah, definitely coffee. That's a great start to the morning. And probably one too many sugars in that coffee. But gets you going. And it's a combination of, and this is the balancing act, it's a combination of giving yourself space to think, as well as act. And probably sending a few business cases to Liz a month, and then it's just the nature of it. I laugh because, you know, a lot of them is just I need to get it out of my head and construct that idea and put it in front of someone. And usually after that, it's apparent if it's going to have legs, it's apparent if it's going to be something that's going to actually manifest. And not everything does, but it's really great. It's really great that I've got the opportunity to have that space to think as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a really great combination of looking at what the business objectives are and trying to find ways that maybe I can add value, especially in the digital space.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's very cool. I want to mix things up a bit. What is one thing you wish you knew when you began your career?
Probably everything that I know now, right? Yeah.
That's a very logical answer. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to think through. I think probably everything's a journey, but I'm enjoying what I do now. And probably, when I started my career, it would have been great to understand that about myself a little bit earlier.
To get
onto that path. That's probably the only thing. But at the end of the day, it's a journey, and you have to go through these experiences to find out what you do like, what you don't like, what you're passionate about. So that part I know is a journey. But if you could cut straight to it, that might have saved a few detours along the way.
Totally. How many times, Abe, do we at the start of your career journey go like, oh, I just don't know what I'm passionate about or want to do, and the moment of that aha moment being like, this is my zone, this is my sweet spot, this is where I can really add value, that's such an amazing moment in any person's career. So it's a very good answer in terms of it, just be good to know that from the start. Like you said, you got to go through the journey to learn what your weaknesses are, strengths, what you want to do. It's a good answer.
Yeah, and I don't think it's like as specific as like a task or something like that. I think that's what sort of triggers in your head is like, I'm not going to get up every day and do this specific thing, but it's more about, the environment that you're in, the people that you're around, the ideas that you're working on and that type of thing. So for me, that's, I know this about myself now, and I really love exploring new, opportunities and new ideas. I like piecing things together. Like solving problems. So anything that falls under that umbrella, I usually enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. And your role, like you said, what a day in the life of you looks like, your role definitely drives forward those big initiatives and big new ideas, right? It's very valuable. Can you unpack for us, what is digital transformation and why is it important for business?
Yeah, it's a few people have a few different ways of describing or a few different answers. Mm. I always like to, I've answered this question before, I think in another webinar, that we've done, but it's not to be confused with digitization. And that's just like the first part of it. And a lot of people go, digitization is just taking something that's analog and obviously making it into the digital format of it. Yeah. So if I was to, get a inquiry from a customer on the phone traditionally, now I have a form on the website, that's digitization. Yeah. That's not actually digital transformation. So digital transformation is definitely more, as the name suggests, transformative. So you're looking at trying to either pull out a piece of value that didn't exist before, or completely modify your ways of doing things through digital means. So that's best I can answer that. But I think as well, like when you go on that journey of digital transformation, it really is, again, looking to find use cases for technology that, are going to add something to, in this case, if you're talking about business, it's going to add something to the business that didn't exist before.
Yeah,
and that's, for me, going to be transformative with digital means, hence digital transformation.
Yeah, no, brilliant answer. That's great. We like to, in this podcast, bring things to the table from the lens of an SME business owner or leader. So when a business owner asks, where do I start in my digital journey? This is all really overwhelming. Where can I just start? Where would you direct them, or where can they start?
Yeah. And I think, it's pretty chaotic at the moment, especially.
Yeah.
Nothing's really changed. There's always been technology around, And you know, that we've got a natural tendency to be like a magpie and see something shiny and be like, oh, you know, this is, and the word used to describe it in technology circles is, you know, the hype or the hype train or the, you know, the technology hype cycle. Yeah. And sometimes you just got to see where that lands first, you know, before jumping on board. There's a few different, I definitely think like keep on top of things, you know, trying to keep on top of current technology trends. I was talking to someone the other day around what are those triggers for, you know, looking at implementing into the business. Some things are forced upon you in the form of regulation. So when it comes to like, you know, financial institutes or something like that, obviously cybersecurity, you know, and those type of things are going to be paramount for them. And the partners they work with, whether it's cloud or something like that, they, you know, they have to perform certain due diligence when it comes to the digital realm. So that side of things, you know, they will, and, you know, we've got some businesses, especially, you know, Mariana from OneCenter, who knows very well that certain security measures will make her more competitive in the, in her business landscape. And that's because customers go, well, you have the certification, or, you know, you're up to the standard, I can trust you with my information. So it's a little bit of a mix of regulation and also competitive advantage when it comes to that side of things. The other one is around consumer or just, you know, the general macro environment adopting something and it becoming the norm. Really crude example, but you know, a lot of the time people didn't have, you know, years ago we didn't have e-commerce, you know, it wasn't a thing. But like if you're unable to sell, especially B2C at the moment, through a e-commerce channel, whether it's a payment gateway, you know, FPOS, Stripe, whatever, if you don't have that at the moment, you're a dinosaur, really, at the end of the day. Like, I mean, this stuff has been around for a little while now, but that's an example. It didn't exist before. Now everyone's expectations are that they can pay for something online, and complete the transaction that way. So again, that's you know, when the vast majority of people adopt a new technology, we've seen it with the use of mobile phones, we've seen it with the use of different apps and social media and things like that. Once that adoption, and for social media, it's about the communication side of things. Like, people expect to be able to communicate with the company through these widely used applications and methods. And once that happens, you're kind of forced to adopt them yourself as a business. And then after that, it's, you know, it's just looking for that that piece of advantage, really, whether it's a strategic advantage, competitive advantage, whatever it is. I think looking at your business objectives and then looking backwards and saying, well, you know, what do we want to do? Like, what do we want to actually achieve? And potentially just keeping your eyes out for whether there's a piece of technology that may be able to provide that solution or part of a solution or get you a long way towards that. I mean, it always starts with the business objective. You have to go backwards from there. You don't want to be just chucking in random technologies into your business. You can absolutely upset your entire organization. It can start to affect you on the top and bottom lines, especially when, you know, you're paying a whole heap of money for these services that maybe you just don't use, or it's actually making things worse. But yeah, I mean, there's really good resources out there. You know, Digital Boost is one that's got rolled out recently. It's for lack of a better term, it's targeted at just understanding the principles. It's not too technical. So that's a great place to start. And then you know, podcasts and things as well, tech podcasts and things like that. But you know, call us up as well. The iSounds.
Yeah, totally.
And if there's something specific as well, like we have corporate partners as well, you know, AWS, One New Zealand, people like that, when it comes to specific requirements, you know, if it's going to be communications and you need to, you know, make sure your team is all over the country and needs to have a really unified communication structure, then, you know, someone like a telecommunications company can probably provide something like that. When it comes to needing to provide, you know, security or trying to deploy software or, you know, across all the different locations, then, you know, AWS, a cloud provider, would be really great for that. And then you get comp. If you go to export or go and play in other markets, then, you know, Xero and other companies like that are really important, because, you know, when it comes to doing business in other countries, you've got to worry about tax, all the different regulations and stuff. So you will need someone to help you out with that. So just thinking about what the business case is or what that problem is, and then working it backwards to maybe what that technology could be to solve it.
Yeah, solving the problem, connecting it to the business objectives, digital boost, great idea. And then also connecting with partners or people like the ICE, you know, organizations like the ICE House or partners that can help implement some of those things and start forming a strategy. Love it. Awesome, Trent. Thank you for those nuggets of gold. I want to hear from you. What are digital emerging trends that personally interest you the most?
Yeah, even though I said don't be a magpie, I mean, it's hard to ignore some things.
Exactly.
Gen AI and ChatGPT and stuff like that. I'm exploring it at the moment in the context of this business and other businesses. It's the most adopted technology, the fastest adopted technology in the world.
Wow.
There's a graph somewhere, but you know, we had Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, and it was per, you know, million users, how quickly they adopted. And I think TikTok was, I think got to 100 million users in 3 months or something. And I think OpenAI's ChatGPT got to 100 million users in about a month. So it's impossible to ignore that stuff, you know.
For sure.
But if anyone's used it before, they'll know the limitations of it. It's gonna come, and it's going to you know, work in with our everyday lives and business lives as well. How that is, you know, we'll have to wait and see. It's still a little while away from being incorporated and adopted in a way that's you know, completely replacing what we've done at the moment. Right now it's just working alongside us, and that, I think that's a great place to be. Anything that's going to improve efficiency is really handy. And then, yeah, some other things are like important to me, especially around regulation and things like that. Being responsible in terms of technology is super important to me. You've heard lots and lots of different statistics around social media and stuff like that, and unfortunate statistics around mental health, and even, you know, things that are worse than that, especially from demographics such as young girls and large users of those groups. And I've just had a little girl myself, and that's at the top of my mind. How are we going to navigate that stuff? I'm pretty passionate about responsible use of technology, and that goes all the way back to the people sitting in Silicon Valley. Not that I have a great deal, you know, of say in what they do, but it's just something that I always keep abreast of in terms of what we deem appropriate in society. You know, at the moment, it's a little bit still the Wild West. People, you know, are able to make these calls that are affecting hundreds of millions of people. And, you know, when it comes to machine learning and things like that, it's very powerful. You know, the rate of compute and the power of compute has times 50 in the last like 10 years. So when it's a human with human flaws and human, you know, natural tendencies versus supercomputer that knows everything about you, at the moment, you're in a losing battle. You're not going to win that one. And even though you think you have agency over yourself, unfortunately, it's been proven, especially over the last few years, that that's not actually the case when this technology is deployed in a way that can be detrimental to individuals' health, physically and mentally. Yeah. So yeah, those type of things, overarching technology is just really important to me. I'm always going to probably lean towards, you know, responsible use and responsible design, especially. And there's lots of things happening, and especially over in the States, you'll see some regulation come in soon across different things. And I know our Prime Minister at the time did put in some things around what can be posted in social media. And so anything like that's going to be really, really helpful for us moving forward. And an extension to that privacy and all that is good to keep on top of. So I think we should all be conscious of it, put it that way, because at the end of the day, we're the ones interacting with it. So we need to make sure that everyone's comfortable with using it. But it's not all doom and gloom. I do enjoy the fun stuff. I do like chucking stuff into ChatGPT. I do enjoy all the other tools that are available there. It's pretty fun, and it's a crazy time at the moment in technology, and pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, brilliant answer. And yeah, you're so right. Ethical digital transformation is very important, and it's something we need to think about. You reminded me, must have been on the news or something. Someone said on there, I'm not concerned about AI, I'm concerned about HS, human stupidity, yeah. when using AI. And I really perked up at that, going, oh yeah, so true. You know, it's not always AI, but it's the people that are using AI and for what reason, right? So I completely understand where you're coming from in terms of that being on your mind, being a thought leader in the space. It's definitely something we all need to be thinking about. But yes, so right that AI can bring some incredible productivity benefits to business owners and leaders as well of SMEs. So yeah, very cool to hear. Sort of in the similar strain of thought, you know, when you think about data, like data is such a huge thing as a business owner. What role does it play, and how can companies leverage data effectively for that digital transformation space?
I think, speaking with a lot of SME owners, people don't realize what they're actually sitting on. And I mean, it might sound cliche at the moment, but data is very valuable. And like, I think they've even like quantified like a value for it. And it's just like more valuable per whatever than oil. It's only with, what you can do with it.
Yeah.
So I think there's, we're talking about, I was actually talking with someone the other day about this, and they're talking about how, New Zealand businesses are not as productive as maybe we could be.
Yeah.
But and I think like where that came from was, value per employee, like what output that employee is, and putting a dollar figure on that. And I think as well, like when you're looking at something that you're either adding value to a value chain through physical labor or something like that, and that may be the start of where the business is, every single interaction is going to cause, a data point if you so choose to capture it. And a lot of people do, they capture these things, but okay, what are you actually going to do with that? And I think that's, again, there's no quick answer, because every instance is different, every business is different. But, you could transition, for instance, where a lot of your value is made through the physical labor, through to years of doing that, then you understand, maybe through some data, how you're going to be more efficient, or there's some IP that you've learned through your journey. And it's about transferring that into value of its own, So you could be a boat builder for years, but obviously after building all these boats, you probably understand what materials to use, what to avoid, designs, like how you're going to turn that into IP that is actually sellable to a market, and therefore transition that data into something that's actually of value. So I think that's a really interesting thought for most business owners. It's like there may not be like a complete sort of line there to connect the two dots, but if you don't have a CRM, get a CRM.
Yeah, great.
Even though the acronyms, talking about customers, but I think in general, like just capturing data, like just capturing customer interactions and things like that. And then, you can start to take some time and think through some use cases, whether it's, how can we be more efficient? At least, that data can actually inform some of those decisions. Maybe, like I said, you've got some IP, you've got some gold there that just no one else has, because you've been doing something for 10, 20 years. And like, someone entering the market's just not going to have that knowledge. Yeah. So, operationalizing that into something that's either adding value to an existing product or service that you sell, or creating something completely new of its own. Like I said, you may not have sold designs of boats before, but heck, you've got a lot of them. So maybe, you know, maybe you can now look to transition into a design company or part of a design company, as well as like a boat building company, just as a crude example. So yeah, I think it's about collection and then looking through just, yeah, what's possible after that.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Sort of rounding off this discussion of digital transformation for SMEs, what is one tip that you would give, you know, marketing, sales, teams with digital influence within SMEs?
I think it's both. I think like the number one thing I've learned, obviously, in change management is adoption's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really, that's the hardest part. The technology itself's not that hard. Finding ROI is not that hard in something, but when people are using it day to day, you need to make sure that one, it connects with them and, you know, they're seeing value out of it, and that you keep them in the loop when it comes to implementing it into the business or into parts of the organization. But I think it works both on both hands. I think, you know, as leaders, we need to make sure that you do include people in that discovery session, and then through to implementation, like make sure that they're part of that and they feel part of that. So like, you know, that change is actually going to be adopted and you're actually going to see the change that you wanted and see, you know, the results come from it. But at the same time, I think like as in, you know, any staff or any employees, don't be adverse to it. You know, just be curious, because a lot of the time, like I've seen it so many times, people say, oh, and months later, oh, it's much better, you know. And it's just to have the both sides of the equation, have the attitude on both sides.
Totally.
Look, I'll give it a go. And also, as a leader, you're not going to just be a directive, oh, you have to do it this way now. Just, you know, I'd like to explain to you why it's better. I'd like you to be part of this. I'd like you to tell me, you know, what works and work together. So I think it's that combination where I've seen the best results. And I think despite what technology, what you're actually trying to achieve, it's always the human part that is the most imperative when making that change.
For sure, yeah. No, that's a good point, that change management is such a big part of digital transformation, and leading with the why, not always just the what, is very helpful within change management. So that's very great. I've got this last big question, and then we'll finish with some fun quick fire. Who has been someone for you personally that has been influential in your career journey?
Yeah, I've had quite a few good leaders. Initially, I learned a lot at Harvey Norman from Waddy, the general manager there, general manager of Harvey Norman New Zealand. Really good business mind, very pragmatic, very strategic. I saw the results from, you know, the things that he had put into place. And I've always taken those, you know, I was sort of like a fly on the wall. I was a junior at the organization, but really did realize like some of the things that he was doing were, were bearing fruit. So I've always packed those in the back of my mind, just from a general way of running a successful business, and especially in this interaction with competition and how he interacted with that. And he found ways to, you know, work with people to make sure the market was really stable, make sure the market was fruitful for everyone, but also really made the most of it for the business he was working for. Mm-hmm. So that was really great. And then Matt, the CEO at Union Digital Design Works, he was the first one to sort of bring me into, I guess, you know, innovation officer style role. Like, so he was really the focal point of that business, and large clients would come to him for the design phase. And, you know, after a while, he brought me into those meetings, and I got to sort of experience that and experience, you know, really working on those frameworks of taking an idea or taking a problem and taking it through a design phase into something that was actually implemented. Especially from a technology standpoint. So there were some really great learnings from those two individuals.
Yeah, it's cool. And I love asking this question because it just shows like the power of community and just supporting others, you know, like opening doors for other people in their careers and how that can then lead to where you are and then who you can impact, you know, in their career. And yeah, it's just always interesting to hear. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's great. Want to finish with some fun quick fire. Like I said, first one, book or podcast that you recommend.
My number one podcast is Your Undivided Attention.
Oh,
it's a technology podcast. Tristan Harris and Asa Raskin, who the thing they're most famous for is they did the documentary that many people have seen on Netflix called The Social Dilemma.
It was sort of like a
dramatization story along with some factual stuff. So they actually run a podcast called Your Undivided Attention. And if you want to keep up with the state of technology, and they get some really great guests on when it comes to, you know, I think I just listened to a couple recently. They had ex-founder of DeepMind, one of the first AI companies. He's got a really interesting perspective on now and the future. He's one of the founders of AI, looking at Gene AI. So, and I can't remember who acquired the company, but, you know, it was either Microsoft or Google, might've been Google. Things about regulation and everything in between. So it's really, really interesting stuff. So technology wise, yeah, Your Undivided Attention is my go-to.
Brilliant recommendation. Best app or digital tool that you would recommend people use? You can only pick one, Trent.
Yeah, it's like what do you use every single day? I mean, there's some good ones out there, isn't there? Oh man, that's a tricky one. So I use quite a few.
Okay, rattle off a few that you use.
Yeah, well, I'll just I don't want to be the magpie person, but let's just say if you haven't played around with ChatGPT, it's gonna be there in your face at some point, so you might as well get on board and just have a look around and see what it can do. Pretty powerful stuff. Large learning models. There's lots of different variations, but that one's got a really great interface. So give it a go. It's a lot of fun. Ask it what to eat for dinner tonight. You know, save yourself some brain power.
Yeah, it's very true. We have used it for recipes in this household and it has been very helpful. So yeah, for sure. A bit more of a general lifestyle question. Favorite place in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a little bit of traveling and there's some great places out there. I mean, I love Canggu. I really love Colorado when I've been there in the past, especially snow season, those towns, Breckenridge, it's like a fairy tale. It's literally like a fairy tale. It's crazy. Cool. So if you haven't seen any pictures of Breckenridge in Colorado at at their winter time, Christmas, it's basically out of Disney. And then I've got a really, I don't know why, but because I live out west, I live in the west of Auckland, so lots of black sand beaches and stuff like that. But I can't go past the east coast beaches of New Zealand. They're just amazing. So if you go out past Beachlands, especially, it's definitely formed a special special feeling for me. So I really enjoy going out there.
Yeah, totally agree. One guest for dinner, who would it be?
Yeah, it's like, what type of dinner do you want? Do you want a little bit of a debate? Do you want to be entertained? Like, you know, it's crazy. I'd love to invite people, have like, you know,
debate.
Yeah, sitting around the round table and getting some whiskeys out or something like that. And I mean, it's a little bit divisive, but not for me. I really enjoy listening to Jordan Peterson and the way he thinks. Modern philosophy, things like that, can be a bit much for some people, but I really like to have a conversation with him. From a musician standpoint, another Trent, even though it's not his real name, Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, he's one of my favorite artists. He's a great lyricist, but he's very philosophical as well when it comes to the world. So he'd just be a great person. He's been all over the world for years with his band, but also done some amazing stuff when it comes to you know, movies and art, and yeah, he'd be a great person to invite and chat to.
Cool, I love it. And what is one thing, this is the last question, one thing on your bucket list that you want to tick off?
Like, I think it would be amazing to go to space.
Ooh.
I think it would be just an incredible experience. I don't particularly want to live in space. I don't think I want to live on Mars. I'm happy here. But yeah. I just think like that is the ultimate at the moment, the ultimate experience. It's just so foreign to everything that we experience here. So that will be a pretty crazy thing to do.
Wow, that is a really good answer. That's very cool. Well, this conversation has definitely shaped, you know, who you are and the role that you have at the Ice House, the value you bring to the organization. So thank you so much for the answers to these questions. You know, I definitely think they were very practical in the way a business owner could listen to this, or a leader within a business could listen to this and go, actually, yes, I know where to start, or I know the value of digital transformation, and also just getting to know you a little bit more. So thank you heaps, Trent, for your time and for being on the Ice House podcast.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm glad to be of help. And I like to try and keep it pretty practical because it can get into the, into the what ifs and out into the ether of a technology. But I like to try and keep it a little bit pragmatic. So, yeah, no worries.
Totally. You did just that. Awesome.